practices.
Dean was lost, staring at the tableau of horror so close to them. The man on the cross writhed in agony, his head moving from side to side, more blood flowing over his eyes and face. The nails hammered through both his palms held the arms rigid, and his whole body strained forward at an unnatural angle that put an immense strain on his lungs. Doc closed his eyes, sickened at the sight. He had read of crucifixions in textbooks, tomes that spoke of the bodies of the thousands of losers in the revolt of Spartacus, exhibited all along the endless miles of the Appian Way. Most had eventually died of suffocation, their chests constricted, each breath that little bit smaller and more painful than the one before. The executioners, bribed by despairing relatives, would remove support from the feet, making the final passing of the anguished victims that much swifter. Doc had never, in his worst laudanum-tainted nightmares, imagined that he would one day be a witness to this barbaric method of execution.
Butchery!
The steady pacing in the circle around the crucifix had ceased, and the 12 acolytes of the Brotherhood were standing looking toward their skinny leader. Simon had lifted the staff with the tortured Christ on its head, pointing with it away to the south, toward Jack's homestead.
Those who are not for the slaves of sin are against them. Those who are not believers are blasphemers. Those who will not help us on our chosen journey to the Indies shall die. Yea, verily they shall die. Die, one, and die all.
We should warn Jack.
Master Lauren heard Simon say this kind of arrant nonsense babble earlier, did he not? Empty words. For all her manifold faults, Dr. Wyeth is a good hand with a pistol. She would be able to cleanse the planet of all of them before they close to within 50 yards of her.
Yeah?
Doc patted Dean on the shoulder.
They seem to have no weapons, except for an occasional knife. I believe they could do precious little harm to us or our friends.
I guess not.
The Apostle Simon had turned toward the man on the cross, the rest of the followers silent. The tortured victim's head had fallen forward on his breast, and it seemed as though he'd already slipped into semi-consciousness.
The sacrifice is seemly.
Simon fumbled with the head of his staff. A long, slender blade of steel shot out of the head of the Christ figure, glinting brightly in the moonlight.
I suggest you look away, dear boy.
I've seen plenty of chilling, thanks.
Very well.
The Apostle Simon stood below the crucified man, stared at him, then reached slowly up toward the exposed throat with a concealed dagger.
Take this life for all our lives. Take our blood for their blood. In return for our humble self-abasement, give us divine vengeance. Give us that, dear Lord. Let us crush all those who mocked and derided us. We have truly scourged ourselves clean of pride, Lord.
Doc was beginning to feel physically sick from the acrid stench of their unwashed, tortured bodies and the bitterness of fresh blood.
We have made ourselves a seamless sacrifice. The sands of the desert are red with blood.
The movement was quicker than a striking rattler, the pilgrim's staff that had become a spear darting at the neck of the helpless victim. Blood jetted from the severed artery. Simon moved swiftly to one side, retracting the blade from the head of his staff, showing all the skill and balance of an expert knife fighter, avoiding both the blood and the urine that fountained from the dying man.
Take our blood and give us vengeance!
Doc pulled insistently at Dean's jacket.
Let's go. Now.
Wait.
I see no... should we not warn them of the danger ahead?
Too late. Don't worry, Doc. They won't let this mess of triple-stoop crazies catch them.
One of the most ill-matched couples in all Deathlands, Jack Lauren and Mildred Wyeth, were walking casually across the desert toward the camp and its bright fires, following the dusty track, making no attempt to conceal themselves from the slaves of sin. Jack, his white hair blazing like a brilliant torch, carried a hunting rifle with his big .357 blaster at his hip. Mildred had her .38 caliber Czech target revolver holstered at her belt. Neither of them looked at all apprehensive. Simon saw the two strangers coming. In less than a dozen seconds, the cross and its dead victim had been struck to the ground and laid flat. A few ragged blankets were heaped over it. Dean knew that seeing at night was often difficult and misleading, guessing that the combination of bright moonlight and the flames of the fires would have made it hard for their two friends to make out much inside the camp. Dean sensed that the man at his side was about to shout some sort of warning.
No, it'll only make things worse, Doc.
But
you and me got short-range weapons. Wouldn't do much chilling. Chances are the crazies don't mean any real harm to Jack and Mildred. They'd be too scared of us.
I hope you're right, son.
Jack and Mildred walked unsuspectingly in among the flaggies.
You see a kid and no man?
No. You mean your precious party? Haven't seen anyone since you refused us water and food. Not a living soul. Gone missing, have they?
Mildred, sensing that something was off kilter, dropped her right hand to the butt of the blaster and stared at the raggedy man with a growing anger.
You seen him or not?
Not.
Jack looked around, seeing that something was hidden under the pile of rags. He started to draw his Colt Python.
What's that?
Simon swung the staff with its lead-loaded butt in a vicious circle, striking the teenager across the side of the head. Mildred started to turn, the pistol in her hand.
What the fuck?
She was too slow. Three of the Brotherhood of Pain flung themselves at her, wrestling away the blaster, punching Mildred quickly into unconsciousness. It was all over and done with in less than 5 seconds. The Slaves of Sin now had a rifle and two handguns, as well as two unconscious prisoners. Dean and Doc watched in helpless silence. The boy looked at the old man, eyes wide in the moonlight. Suddenly, Dean seemed no more than a frightened child.
If Dad was here...
He's not. The best we can do is get back along the draw to the house and warn Christy.
Then what?
I don't know, Dean. I just don't know.
Most men would have tried to keep still and very silent and hope for one lucky chance to surprise and attack the murderous little man with the bottle glass lenses and the 9mm Luger pistol. And most men would have died. Seeing the hidden door opening soundlessly and Malachi Gribble poised to open fire at JB's sleeping figure, Ryan didn't hesitate. The bullet buried itself in the wall, 3 feet above JB's pillow. Gribble's fleshy throat was being squeezed shut between the iron fingers of Ryan's right hand. His left hand gripped the thin wrist of the little man, steering the Luger away. It was no contest between Ryan's 6'2" and 200 pounds of bone and muscle against the small, nearly blind Malachi. To stop the frantic struggling, Ryan brought his right knee up hard into Gribble's groin. Gribble went instantly limp.
Got him covered if you need it.
JB was standing by the side of his bed, the Uzi cocked at his hip.
But I see that you don't.
Reckon not.
How did he get through the bolted door without... Oh, I get it. Second door. Should've looked for that, brother. Nice trick to play.
Yeah.
Ryan was hardly breathing any faster than usual as he moved to the bed to connect with his weapons, glancing once at the whey-faced, unconscious figure on the floor by the cupboard.
Live and learn, like Trader says.
Ryan took Gribble outside and tied him to a fence, a thin cord around his thumbs and another around his neck, holding him upright, leaving a decision on him until the dawning. Then he and the armorer went back to sleep.
I was going to have a special tableau. Bring folks from miles, gunfighters like in old Westy vids and stuff. And you two would be wonderful. Would have been wonderful, I guess I mean.
Ryan was munching on a hunk of the ill-cooked bread, JB at his side. It was a beautiful morning, with the bright sun hovering over the eastern range. The paint on Gribble's hobby town glinted, and the windows shone.
You both got real mean and ornery killer's eyes, cold as cold can be. Dressed you in black, Ryan, and you in white, Mr. Dix. I got a pair of peacemakers.
The gas generator out back was silent. JB had spent an hour just after dawn, helped by Ryan, draining off fuel and transferring it to the LAV-25, which he'd driven up the narrow street and parked outside the schoolhouse. Now they were gassed up and ready to go.